I'm going to ask Bobby Ray if he'll come. Y'all give Bobby Ray a big hand.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be with you, as always. And thank you for allowing me to come and do Miss Scott. But Vicky's doing well, but he's being her nurse. As I said one Sunday, he's my caboose here, but he's her nurse at home. So she told me Friday she told him he could go sing. He said, no, he's hanging with her for a little while longer. But she's doing very well. But it's good to be with you. That's the old song, first song I ever attempted to sing out in public, and I just still enjoy singing it once in a while. And I made up my mind a long time ago as a teenager that I'm going to that city to be with the Lord. But until then, I'm going to keep working for Him just as hard as I can, keep serving Him, and because that's what we're here for, right, to serve the Lord. So I'm thankful to know the Lord. And chord. That happens a lot. I am looking for the day when I'll see Jesus, and His blessed face I shall behold. With the saints of old, the half will then be told. when my feet touch the streets of glory. When I travel my last weary mile, will he hold my trembling hand? When before the bar I stand, will he say, my child, well done, crown of life you now have won? When my feet touch the streets of gold. Now if by chance some happy morning you should miss me, don't you weep for me, because I am gone. That's an old song that goes back a long time, but I enjoy that singing that song. This is a new one my neighbor brought to my attention a while back, and it sort of goes along with the "Will he say, my child, well done?" This song says, "Start with well done." One next one's begun. I want it to start with well done. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well. Here's one I'm going to sing this morning. I've never sang this song out much, and I worked years ago, learned this song, and one of my cousins had shared this song on Facebook, and I got to listening to it, and I said, wow, really, that's a great song. And so I never sang it out, and I had to sort of relearn it, but it's entitled Mountain of God. It talks about to stand on the mountain of God. We got to go through valleys sometimes, and we appreciate those mountaintops, don't we? Afraid, but you are here with me. Yeah. Jesus, you are here with me. I sing those songs I don't know too well, and I get nervous. My nerves just fight me all the time. I'll do one or two more real quick here and turn it over to Wes, and talking about going through valleys and the things we go through down here. When I was very young, this was a song right here I want to sing that we sang around my grandma's piano with her playing. It was just love singing this old song. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft in my face, while the storm I'll do one more real quick, and you all sing with me on this one. There is coming a day
I always thank him so much for that. I was telling somebody the other day, the Lord just blessed us that Bobby Ray and I and well, Scott and all of us have got to do ministry together through the years. It's been a true blessing, and we really thank the Lord for that. If you will, take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 15 this morning about Jesus' promises. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit will help us convince, guide us, and also help us glorify Christ in the things that we do in life. I love Bobby Ray singing those songs about the mountains. I was thinking about it when he was talking about the valley. My daddy told me one time that if you didn't have two mountaintops, you'd never have a valley. And that you got to remember most of the time you spend your life in the valley. You know, and I used to think, you know, when you got saved, you was going to be on the mountaintop all the time. It didn't take me long to figure out that God gives us mountaintops so that we can rest and get our breath and refocus on Him for what's fixing to come when we get back down in the bottom. Amen? And that's what I want to talk to you about today is if you remember last week we was looking at this. In chapter 15, Jesus is talking about being the vine. He's talking about a relationship that we have with Him. If we're not dependent on Him, we can do nothing that'll please the Father. If we're dependent and got Christ living in us, then that affects our relationship with one another. You know, if we're living with Jesus, God's going to be pleased with us. If Jesus is living in us, we can be pleased with one another. But guess what? The world's going to get mad. That's what Jesus warns us here, that, hey, if you love me, the world's not going to love you because the world doesn't love the Father that sent me. I'm kind of paraphrasing so you get a little context here. And so Jesus here at the end or the close of chapter 15, it actually goes spills over into chapter 16. He says there that he'll send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father will testify about the Son, and that we also will testify because he tells the disciples they have been with him from the beginning. And he tells them, he's like, I'm telling you these things so you don't stumble or so you're not offended and fall away when trouble comes. Now, this morning, in verse 4, he says, but these things I have spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you them. These things I did not say to you with the beginning because I was with you. And what Jesus is saying here to the disciples, I've been walking with y'all for 3 years, and I didn't tell you a lot about this trouble and where you need help, because why? Chapter 17 says that Jesus has been protecting the disciples while he was with them. He was walking with them. He was protecting them. Guess what? The world and the Jews and the estranged society that was estranged from God was attacking Jesus more so than the disciples. But now Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to be buried. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to ascend back to the Father. The disciples who become the 12 apostles, they will be alone. And Jesus says, look, I've been protecting you. But now I want you to know this, that I'm going to send you a helper. He says in verse 5 here that the Holy Spirit will help us convict the world of three truths. So he's leaving these disciples with a ministry, the same ministry they've handed off to us. That is the ministry to testify about Jesus. He said in verse 26 of chapter 15 that we will testify about him. Testify means that we will give proof of something that we actually know through experience, something we've seen. If you testify about a car wreck, they don't want you to testify if you didn't see somebody rear end the other person. Amen? He says, you know, you're going to testify about these things. Now, in verse 5, he says, but I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me where you were going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 10, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, you'll no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we look at this, Lord, we just thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. We thank you of this promise that become a reality. And Lord, we pray this morning as we look at this, that Lord, we could just look at these truths that the Holy Spirit will help us convince the world of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning what I want to talk to you about is three truths that the Holy Spirit will help us if we're going to be testifying for Jesus. The three truths that the Holy Spirit help us convict the world of. This word convict, it can also mean that it convinces by providing adequate proof of wrongdoing. In other words, when you was a kid and you done something wrong, sometimes your mom and daddy would explain to you why it was wrong. Y'all remember that? My daddy would explain to me one time why it was wrong. He never explained it the next time. It was with effort to get me not to do it no more, if y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I want to give you proof that you are wrong. And he says here that the Holy Spirit will give three truths of these proofs concerning. This word concerning means about. It's about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Verse 9 says, concerning sin, it is because they do not believe in me. Here's the truth about sin. Here's the biggest problem with sin. We don't believe that Jesus is God's answer to sin. Now, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We studied that Wednesday night. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. In other words, when you say, no, my way's okay, God's way, I know that was all right, but that was a long time ago, or that doesn't mean the same thing now, or if we look at sin as making our own laws. You know, we do this all the time now. We see every week that they're trying to pass new laws to say that God's moral law is wrong. Have you ever thought about this? I've mentioned this before. The reason we passed civil laws that do things against the Bible is so we feel good about ourselves. Well, I know God said that, but the judge said I could do it. Now, Bobby Ray was singing a while ago one day about the day, what a glorious day when we stand and see Jesus. Now, do you want to stand before God and say Jesus said or the judge said? You know, when you talk about sin and about Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish people rejected Jesus as their Savior. They rejected him as God's answer to sin. They rejected Jesus as being perfect. When we say that we have no sin, we're lying to ourselves and we're lying about God's Word. And that takes us to the next thing. Jesus says here that he who believes in John 3:13, he who believes in Jesus is not judged. He who does not believe has already been judged because he's not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God. We're familiar with John 3:16. When we think about John 3:16, we need to go ahead and read 17, because it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe in him has already been judged, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds was evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for the fear of their deeds being exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought or worked in God." Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will help us convict and convince the world that they're wrong if they don't consider Jesus as the Savior. Just last week, someone asked me, says, "Well, I was trying to talk to somebody, and they, you know, how do I explain to them that my way is the only way? Because they believe in another religion, so what right do I have to say that Jesus is the only way?" Well, the right is you got the truth. Jesus is the only way. Just because some people don't believe it, don't make it untrue. And so we are to share that truth with the world. Now, that's not easy, especially sometimes with family. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. And this takes us to our next point here that Jesus wants us to understand. It's the truth about two types of righteousness. Righteous means right living. Say right. How many of y'all right this morning? Somebody ought to be. Y'all got here. Y'all done something right. Amen. But here's the problem with righteousness. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world. And when John's writing about the world, he's talking about an organized system that is estranged from God. So Jesus says, y'all need some help. Here's the help: to convict the world of righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness: the righteousness of Christ and self-righteousness. Guess which one's right? Anytime Jesus is involved, you know the answer, right? You don't have to look no farther if it's multiple choice. The righteousness of Christ has been applied to everyone that believes in him. When Bobby Ray was talking about seeing Jesus face to face, you know why that's so good? When God asked me, "Why are you in heaven?" I'm going to say, "Because I'm with Jesus." You got me? You remember when you was a kid and the first time you spend the night at somebody else's house, you've never met their parents, you get there, you don't know what to do, you don't know what's going on. What do? You stay real close to your friend till you get to know their parents, right? I used to try to get people to stay with me, and they'd say, "We can't go to your house." I'd be like, "Why not?" They'd say, "When we do wrong, everybody get a whipping." The point being, if we go visited somebody, we learn right away that because it's their home, it's our home when we're there. When we show up in heaven, it's not what we did, it's what Jesus did. Now here's where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is real important, because the gift of the Holy Spirit and understanding our dependence on Jesus, because we're the branches and He's the vine, is understanding this. If we can do it without the Holy Spirit's help, it's not right. Now think about this. When the economy was going real good, y'all remember that? It was real easy to tithe, wasn't it? But now that a hamburger and a french fry is $12, it gets a little tougher because we're trying to figure out our money. Matter of fact, it even gets a little harder to pull your money out first for people that tithe and take your money out first, don't it? I'm being honest, because you're worried about what's going to happen before the end of the month. But when the Holy Spirit is helping you apply Jesus' righteousness, His right living in your life, that's when you can do these things. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those things. Have you ever thought about it? It's real easy to love somebody you like, right? What about the person that is always just kind of a thorn? You know what I'm talking about? That person is kind of like bitter lemonade. And you like, I'll just stay away from them. Well, if they're a believer, God might be having you to work with them. You're going to have the Holy Spirit's help to love them that you don't like as much as you love them that you do like. Does that make sense? This is why Jesus said, look, tough times is coming. Somebody called me the other day, was asking, how'd you do this? How'd you get your life together? I said, Jesus. They said, yeah, but everything comes so easy to you. I said, no, it don't. They said, oh, yeah, you say you trust Jesus. And they was naming. I said, let me tell you something. Living the Christian life is the hardest thing I ever done. They said, well, that can't be true. I said, it is true. When I was living my way, there was no rules. I could do whatever I wanted to. It might not work out, but, hey, it didn't matter. But when you live Jesus' way, the only one on your side is God and other believers that He surrounds you with. And He gives you the Holy Spirit's help to say no, because you know that you're not righteous. What was wrong with the Pharisees? Jesus says, look, if your righteousness does not surpass that of the Pharisees, that was the best that Judaism had to offer in Jerusalem, the scribes, the priests, and the Pharisees, if you're not more right than them, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, they was supposed to be, they said, we're the standard. Look at us. We're making the rules. Jesus said, guess what? They ain't going to make it. Jesus is our standard of righteousness. Here's what the Holy Spirit lets us know. Jesus' standard is here. My ability is here. And only the Holy Spirit can bring the two together, because the Holy Spirit causes us to be regenerated. The Spirit of God takes up residence in our life. Now let me explain, if I can, a simple way to understand this. I don't know if y'all remember this, but we used to have cars. I know a lot of these young people won't remember this. I was thinking the other day, if it weren't for anti-lock brakes and all the computer stuff, people would wreck cars nowadays. They just would. It would happen. But if you remember, we used to have things called carburetors, right? And distributors with timing and all this. Have you ever had one of them cars and it's really embarrassed? You pull up and you're going to be cool and all your friends is around. You turn it off and it keeps running. Y'all remember that? Either the timing's too fast, the carburetor's off adjustment, or you got some carbon on your old Champion spark plugs. Whatever the problem is, the air and the gas mixture's not the same, and you turn it off and it's like... That's what our life's like. Here's what happened. God planted a tree in the garden. It was the tree of life. And He gave Adam and Eve everything they needed. And He told them, whatever you do, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When he created them, he breathed life, spirit into them. The moment they disobeyed God and reached and grabbed and wanted an apple, it was fruit, the Bible says, and ate it, the spirit that God breathed into them died. But here's the problem. They kept walking around. Bodily, they kept living. They were able to keep functioning, but the Spirit of God no longer lived in them. Does that make sense? And without the Spirit of God living in them, their bodies started deteriorating. There comes sickness, sadness, emotional distress, and death. When Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit that will be in you, he says in chapter 14, he is with you, but he will be in you. The Holy Spirit brings the Spirit of God, the breath of God, back into us. We become alive, no longer to sin, Satan, and temptation, but alive to God. It's like getting your timing reset. You start running a little smoother. Don't mean the road ain't bumpy. Don't mean you might not have a blowed out tire now and then. But you're running a lot smoother. Does that make sense? See, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. We're not righteous in ourselves. Paul said there's none righteous. No, not none. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Together, they've all turned aside. Together, they've become useless. There's none good. No, not one. See, the reason we have trouble sometimes, admitting that we are sinners and we have trouble looking up for Jesus' righteousness is because we are toting our guilt and our shame from our sin. And we toting it, and it's so heavy that we're looking down where we're walking trying to tote it. And the Holy Spirit tells us to simply walk to the cross. And if you'll set down your guilt and your shame, then you can look up and realize that Jesus was stripped naked, beaten bloody, bruised, and hung on the cross for our shame. He bowed his head and said, "It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit to the Father." And he took all the wrath of God so that our guilt is gone. Martin Luther says, it's a mystery that we can't even imagine that Christ took all our sin and clothed us in his righteousness. Peter says he bore our sins in his body on a cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He says Christ died once for all sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The righteousness of Christ applied to us, we can only understand that and that our self-righteousness doesn't work through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:21 says that sin reigned in death, even so grace reigned through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The third truth that the Holy Spirit helps us convince the world of is about judgment. It's judgment. John 16:11 says concerning judgment, the Holy Spirit teaches and gives us evidence that the ruler of this world has been cast out. In Revelation 20:10, it says the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also, and they will be tormented night and day, or day and night, forever and ever. When Jesus died on the cross, the devil throwed everything he had at Jesus, thought that he had defeated him, but when the tomb opened and Jesus stood up, the devil was defeated forever and ever. Now, there's something going on here. If you remember, when we talk about it at Easter, all the people in Jerusalem was looking for an earthly Messiah. They was looking to make Jesus an earthly king. But guess what? Jesus didn't want to be an earthly king. The earth is broken. You can look around you. Look at what's going on. Jesus comes so he could bring us into a heavenly kingdom. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. John calls it the kingdom of God. Jesus come that we might be made into children of God, brought into the kingdom of God to live with him. Guess what? Satan is already defeated. Satan will tempt us and say, no, it's okay to do things this way. But guess what? He has already been judged. He is defeated. Christ defeated sin and death that we might have life and have it with him eternal. Jesus promises us two ways the Holy Spirit will help us testify about these truths. So here's your truths. We want to be honest with people about sin. We want to be honest that there's one righteous, that is Jesus. When we get saved, it's not that we're better than anybody else. It's that the grace of God has been applied to us, and we want them to know. It's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that he died so that we who live would no longer live to ourselves, but live for him who loved us and gave himself up for us. We're living for the righteousness of Christ. We're living with him. Guess what? Satan's done. He's defeated. Satan tells you, hey, it's okay. This is good. Everybody else is doing this. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Broad is the way to destruction. Just because everybody else is going that way don't mean we have to go. We want to tell them the difference. The Holy Spirit gives us two ways of doing this. First of all, he will guide us in truth. Look at 16:13. Verse 13 says, but when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will disclose to you so that you will know what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So here in John 14:26, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In 15:26, he says, when the Helper comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So let me say what this way we can understand this. Jesus says, first of all, he's speaking to the apostles. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes, he will bring into remembrance everything that I have said to you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's talking about the apostles writing the New Testament. Then he says he will teach you all things and guide you into truth. That's the books of the Bible that teach the church in theology how to do. And then he says he will also teach you the things to come. That's the book of Revelation. Now, when Paul is writing in 1 Timothy, he actually quotes Deuteronomy and Luke together, making his point, showing that the New Testament and the Old Testament are both God's Word, and the Holy Spirit uses them to help us testify about God's truth. Does that make sense? So we need to read God's Word. The Holy Spirit will guide us in this truth. Let me give you a good example. The gentleman I was talking about, we could email. I emailed him the email that was in the bulletin. I got a reply back. The reply says, according to your email, I understand that Matthew 22, verses 36 and 39 are no longer in fashion. I'm sorry to hear that. Do you know what those verses are? First commandment is to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. What this gentleman was saying is because I had pointed out something that the Bible was against, he was saying that as Christians, we no longer love our neighbors as ourselves if we don't agree with everybody. So I politely wrote back, thank you for your reply. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40 are still true today. Jesus said that we are to love God above all else and his standard, and that we are to respect our neighbor as we want them to respect me. Then I said, if I did not believe in the truth and did not know the truth, I would want my neighbor to tell me. And then I said, I share the Bible with family and friends all the time who do not agree with me, period. I still pray for them. Tim, I prayed for you before I replied to this email. See, we don't have to be mean. God's word is true. Ezekiel, the watchman on the wall, says that the watchman's job is when the sword is falling to tell people before it hits them. I'm paraphrasing there. See, the Holy Spirit will guide us in truth. It's not being intolerant to tell somebody the truth. It's being loving. It's just how we present that to them that we have to do. And you know how we do that? We pray for the Holy Spirit's help. I can preach to y'all all day long, and it would do no good if the Holy Spirit wasn't here applying it. It's the Holy Spirit that guides in truth, brings into remembrance the things Jesus says. In Luke, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Jesus done said here, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. See, that's more than just getting thrown out of church. If you got thrown out of the synagogue, you're thrown out of the religion, the economic, and also the civil relationships that you had in that community. Jesus is saying, you might be kicked out of everything. Question is, am I enough? And the Holy Spirit will help guide us in these things. If we let the Holy Spirit guide us, the Holy Spirit will also help us live out this truth. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, if the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will glorify me. He will take a mind, he'll disclose it to you. The words that Jesus has spoke, the life that Jesus lived rightly before God, the Holy Spirit will empower us to live that life so that our words will testify and our life will testify. If you want to live out the life that God saved you to live, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, people used to ask me, well, you pray in Jesus' name, but Jesus says we pray to the Father. And what about the Holy Spirit? Hey, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. When I first got saved, I've told y'all this before, I used to love milk. Don't drink it as much as I used to, but I used to love milk. And my mama taught me not to leave milk in the glass. Amen. So when I drink milk before I go to bed, even after I got grown, I'd put it under the sink and just turn the water on, let the water run. And you know, that white, cloudy, eventually it starts getting clear because it's all running out. Y'all ever done that? I'm the only one that knows how to clean out a glass. I used to think about that in the mornings when I first got saved, and I'd ask the Holy Spirit, please fill me and push all this darkness, all this bitterness, all these things that Jesus died to take away from me, please just help them come out and run away. Just help me. Without the Holy Spirit's help, we'll be stuck
right where we got saved. But with the Holy Spirit's help, we can live God's way. Have you ever wondered why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, he prays and teaches us to pray, Lord, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil? You know, I used to read that, and I'm like, well, why would God want to lead me into temptation? I'm pretty good at that on my own. You know what Jesus is saying there and what he's saying here about the Holy Spirit glorifying God and guiding us? When we're going along and the temptation's up here, he's going to guide us away from it. In the Exodus, when God led the Israelites out, it says that he took them the route that he did, which was the long way around, because he says if I'd have took them the other way, they'd have got afraid and turned back. You know, sometimes when things happen in our life, we don't think we deserve it, but we don't know what was on the other side of that situation. It might be God's way of guiding us around something we weren't ready for. He told the disciples, he says, I would have told you more, but you're not ready right now. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus by teaching us as we go. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I got to do this or I got to do that before I can do something for God. Or I don't know enough. Hey, use what you got. It's kind of like playing golf. Whatever you got that day, you got to play it. It's like racing. You got to run what you brung. Might not be a good day, but you use what you have that day and you depend on the Holy Spirit to get you across the finish line. If you'll do these things, you can know for sure that everything we do will glorify God. Jesus promises this morning that he'll help us through the Holy Spirit to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That he'll guide us into truth. And that he'll help us in all that we do bring glory to the Jesus that died for us. First question you'd have this morning is, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you depending on the good that you do? You know, some people look at people that are doing bad and they look at their own life and they say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as they are. That's called self-righteousness. Just because we're doing better than our neighbor still doesn't make us right before God. Jesus set the standard, and he's the only one that lived by it until death. So for us, we always have to admit that we are sinners, saved by grace, that Jesus lived the life that we should have, died the death we deserve, because he was buried, he paid for our sins. Because he was raised, hey, we got a paid in full receipt if we just believe. Let us bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you don't know this power of the Holy Spirit living in you that Jesus promises, you simply just say, Lord Jesus, I know it's the Holy Spirit that convicted me of my sin. I believe that you died and that you can make me right with God. Please forgive me. Give me your righteousness. And Holy Spirit, help me live the rest of my life right before God. If you prayed that, raise your hand. If you're here this morning and you've been saved a long time, my question is, are you depending on your own righteousness, on your own merit, on your own power? Or are you ready to attempt something for God that you know you can't do on your own? So that you can ask the Holy Spirit, help me do this. Help me witness to that person. Help me step out of my comfort zone and hand out some cards and invite people to church. Help me start trying to get along with that person that I just have so much trouble with. Lord, help me glorify you so everyone will know that the Holy Spirit has control of my life. Kind Father, we thank you that you don't save us and leave us to live by ourselves. Lord, you save us, and then you asked the Father not to take us out of the world, but protect us while we're in the world. You asked the Father that he would glorify us, that he would sanctify us in your truth, and that your word is truth. Lord, I just pray now that the glory that Jesus has, that the glory that we will see one day, that as we leave this place, we'll seek to lift him up, to glorify him, to make great the name of Jesus in all that we say and do this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Bobby Ray if he will.